Chairs No Waiting, episode number 528. Where was Sarah? Two Chairs No Waiting is brought to you each week by the fine folks over at WeaversDepartmentStore.com. Drop by over at Weavers and check out some of the great items they got over there. One of them, or three of them, I guess you could say, are Mayberry's Finest Coffees. That's right, you can head over and get Mayberry Diner decaffeinated coffee, or you can get Otis Campbell's Better Than Home dark roasted coffee, or you can also get the Sunday morning breakfast blend. Go and check it out over at Weavers. And while you're there, check out the Mayberry trivia book as well. Two Chairs No Waiting is also brought to you by donations from listeners just like you. The executive producer of episode number 528 is Joanna Bunton. She's one of our patrons over at Patreon. Thank you, Joanna. I really appreciate it. And thank you to all my patrons for the support you give us here on the podcast. I'm Alan Newsome, your host for Two Chairs No Waiting. It is great to be back in Mayberry with you. I mentioned the Mayberry trivia book by Scott Hopkins. It's over at Weavers because we had a trivia episode last week and folks seem to really enjoy that. It's a lot of fun to just do the trivia. And last week's was not as hard as some of the trivia has been in the past, but, prior weeks, we had gotten some feedback from some people, and I ran across this thing that is going to be the final point I'm going to bring up about where was Sarah. So, first off, let's head over and hear from Larry Granger. Larry Granger called in and had a voicemail, and I know you're going to. Larry's one of our patrons. He's been one of our patrons and supported the podcast. I want to thank him for that. And he called in with this.
Hello, Alan. Larry Granger here. I was listening to a recent podcast about the license plate AY321. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, that in the episode when Aunt B buys the car from Goober and learns to drive, that her license plate was AY321. Also, we are planning on going May the 25th to the Mayberry Memory Show in the Caverns. We were there in March to see Ricky Skaggs. I checked out the joint. I don't think we have to wear our hats to keep the bats from laying eggs in our hair. It should be safe. See you then.
Thank you, Larry. Thank you. Wow. So, yeah, we got Mayberry Memories coming out May 25th. It's in the Caverns. Over in Tennessee, you can go to the Caverns online, I believe. There's a link in the show, not in the show notes. There will be. I'll put a link in the show notes. But there's a link at the event calendar at imayberry.com that tells you all about that. So you can do that. And while we're talking about events that are coming up really soon, the 6th annual Mayberry in the Midwest in Danville, Indiana is coming up May 17th through the 19th. So if you're in that area, definitely come out there and see us. You're going to have Ronnie Shell's going to be there. He's Duke Slater on Gomer Pyle and was on two different Andy Griffith Show episodes. Maggie Peterson will be there. You know, she was Charlene Darling. And Dixie Griffith, Andy's daughter, and George Lindsay Jr. I guess he's George Lindsay's son, as you can tell. They're both going to be there with a whole troop of Mayberry tribute artists. It's a lot of fun. It's a really nice event. It's easy and slow, so you'll definitely enjoy it. So try to make plans to be at that. And if you can't be there, head over on the 25th, where Maggie is going to be there as well. Same thing. That's what Larry was talking about. In the Caverns at Mayberry Memories, Maggie and Rodney Dillard will be there. And they're going to be joined by David Browning, the Mayberry deputy. They'll all be there. The showtime for that is at 2 p.m. So it's an afternoon show, but you're in a cave. You're actually in a cave. So I'm pretty sure it'll be dark. So go and check those out. That's great. So Larry, thanks for calling in with that. Now, what he was referring to was the AY321, was brought up by Ron Blankenship a couple of weeks ago. And I showed it here on the podcast. Or I talked about it here on the podcast. Well, I went out and found some pictures, and sure enough, there are pictures of that car. Now, what Ron had said was when he was watching the episode, there was a squad car sitting in the back of the courthouse. So when Andy and Barney came out, it was the episode where Gomer was up on the roof. You remember that? So he was up on the roof sitting there watching for what's coming up. And Andy and Barney came walking out of the back of the building. Well, in the back, there's a car, and it's a Ford sitting there. It's a white Ford, so it wasn't a squad car. Somebody had mentioned they thought it was a station wagon. But when they came walking out, you can definitely see the AY321. So Aunt B's car and this car both had it. And again, it was when Gomer was setting up on the roof with his feet sticking over. You remember that? And he, when he set up, you know, the gun came flying off at him. So anyway, fun stuff. So I wanted to bring that up. I found some pictures. And so I'll post the pictures of some of this stuff over on our Facebook page. Now, there'll be links in our show notes at Two Chairs, No Waiting, episode number 528, this one. There'll be links to the pictures that I found related to these two events. Now, there was another thing that was mentioned on that similar episode by Andy Holly. Okay, so Andy, he's in our chat room. He had mentioned on the episode The Jinx that Barney looked like he had two different shirts on. Well, I went and checked that out, and sure enough, you can see in the episode that Barney starts off with a, it almost looks like a denim shirt, and it's kind of, it's darker than his pants, definitely. And you can see the pants he's wearing. Barney's wearing a baseball cap, a black baseball cap, and he's got on pants that are light, almost khaki looking, but it looks like he may have had on a denim type shirt or something similar to that. So it's a little dark, but it goes from one frame with him standing there where Henry is trying to get his fish in, and you'll be able to see it if you watch the episode. And then in the very next frame, Barney's sitting there and said, you want to hand me that oar? And Andy says, why? We're not going anywhere. Well, we better, or we're sinking, right? So that's where it happens, and Andy caught this. I'd never noticed it. But Barney's shirt changes from a darker color to a lighter color. Now, this could be the lighting, because it's definitely a different time of day. Because if you look in the background of that scene, it goes from the trees that are in the background or in the distance. You can see there's sunshine on the ground. But then in the very next shot there, nearly, the sunshine's gone. So it's later in the day. So the scene is lit differently. So it's possible it could have made Barney's shirt look darker. Or it's possible also they had filmed the shot, they didn't get it exactly right, and they had to film it again. That's possible. And Don, they didn't have a shirt that matched perfectly. That is a possibility, because he had that shirt on the entire rest of the time, even after the boat sank and they're all in the water. So he had that same shirt on. So anyway, so go and check that out. I'll put the links in the show note again to these pictures so that you can go look at it. Or if you're watching the video version, you're seeing them all right now while I'm talking. So there you go. All right. So those are the little kickers I want to tell you about. And now to my main point. Don't leave after it's over, though, because we still got Randy Turner and This Week in Mayberry History. So we all remember Man in a Hurry, right? Man in a Hurry episode where Mr. Tucker comes to town. And it's on a Sunday, and nobody works on Sunday. Nothing's happening. Everybody's sitting around and not doing anything. Well, during that episode, Mr. Tucker wants to use the telephone there in Mayberry, right? So he's got the phone. He's trying to use it, but the Mendelbright sisters are on the phone. You know, the whole town comes to a complete halt because two old ladies' feet's falling asleep, right? So Mr. Tucker is there, and he's all day. He's trying to use the phone, and just back and forth, he can't use it. So I was talking to somebody, and I don't remember who it was now, so forgive me if you are the person, and I've forgotten. But somebody was talking to me about it, and I barely remembered this. I finally remembered it the other night when I was in a meeting with some folks, and they mentioned something about Man in a Hurry, and it came back to me, and I wrote it down on a piece of paper so that I would not forget. So Mr. Tucker, the way a party line works is everybody on the party line, for those that don't remember, there's an episode of the podcast called Party Line that's all about that. Some of you may not remember party lines, but the way it works is everybody on it's almost like a circuit, a chain that goes around. Everybody's phone's on the same line, and each person, each household would have a different ring. So it might be two short rings, or three long rings, or, you know, different rings for each person so that you'd know it was you that was being called. but everybody's phone on that ring rang. Ring rang. You understand what I'm talking about? In that loop or that party line, everybody's phone rang. Well, that's how that worked. But Mayberry had a switchboard. And with a switchboard, you would call Sarah, right? So where was Sarah? You'd call Sarah. Sarah would take one end of a wire, plug it into the thing and say hello and ask, and then take another end of the wire when she told you, when you told her who you wanted to talk to, and they would plug it into the right slot that would now connect you and the party you're wanting to talk to. So where was Sarah? Sarah's always at the switchboard. I mean, she's there any time of the night or day, it seems like, that Barney or Andy or Aunt B or whoever might be trying to make a phone call. They say, hey, Sarah, get me my house. Well, she patches them through. So the theory came up as we were talking about this. Where was Sarah on Sunday? Because Mayberry's not a party line. And if you'll remember, the entire town evidently was tied up by the Mendelbright sisters visiting on Sunday. So it came up that, okay, so it's Sunday. So maybe Sarah took the day off on Sundays. It is Sunday. Everybody else was off, if you'll remember. You know, nobody in town would work. You know, Wally, he wouldn't come off his front porch, even though he knew what it was by the sound. He wouldn't get off his front porch. He's just rocking. Yeah, can't do it today. It's Sunday. Yeah, first thing in the morning, I'll get to it. Yeah, it sounds like a clogged fuel line. But nobody would do anything. So maybe Sarah took a day off as well. That's what we started talking about. And what she might have done then is somehow she made the whole town of Mayberry into a party line. So everybody's phones were connected to each other so that anybody that was called, they would all, their phones must all ring. I don't know how that would have worked. So, but I think that's what she did. So somehow or another on Sundays, nobody could call anybody because the entire town is connected together as a big party line. What do you think? I don't know. As I said, it came up in a conversation because we were talking about Sarah and it was funny. But then the person I was talking to brought up the fact that Mr. Tucker couldn't have been using Sarah, the switchboard, because it would have kept this from happening. And anybody would have been able to talk. So anyway, there's my theory. So I'd love to hear your thoughts about it. I'm seeing some people in the chat room, some of them at least. Emmett, thank you, Emmett, is supporting me by saying it sounds good to me, Floyd. So that was my theory, and that's my explanation. So I think Sarah takes the day off on Sundays. And so any Sunday, she just would connect it all together and everybody would be able to talk, right? So now Margaret in the chat room says, when Mr. Tucker took Gomer's truck, Gomer used the phone to call the sheriff. Gomer said, Sarah, get me the sheriff. Oh, well, so maybe I'm wrong. So maybe Sarah only takes part of the day off on Sunday. And it was, well, no, because he stole the truck because he couldn't use the phone. I don't know, guys. So anyway, if you have a theory, I would love for you to let me know what it is. You can give me a call at 888-684-8415. You can email me at floyd@imayberry.com. But I'd really like for you to call in and give your theory if you have one, because that's true. I didn't go back and watch the episode. Basically, like I said, I wrote down on a piece of paper just the notes so that I wouldn't forget to mention this to you because, I always thought Sarah had the switchboard in her house, and that's what Joanne's saying as well. She must, because she was there all the time. Sarah was always listening in again, coming in at 1:45. So Sarah always knew what was going on. So, but maybe she took part of the day off in the afternoons. Maybe they took off so that the Morrison sisters could, that was why they talked during that time. I don't know. So anyway, Emmett says, my theory is that if Gomer couldn't make that call, there wouldn't have been a story and the truck would have just been stolen. That's a good one, Emmett, in our chat room. There you want to go. All right. So, guys, that is what I had for you tonight. Let's go and hear some real good information that has been researched, and well, he'll know the answer. Let's go hear from Randy Turner.
Welcome to This Week in Mayberry History, a report by special correspondent Randy Turner of the Gomer and Cooper Pyle Comic Book Literary Guild of the Mayberry Historical Society.
Robert Cornthwaite was born on April the 28th, 1917, in St. Helens, Oregon. While he was an active stage actor throughout his professional career, he is best known for his work in film and television, and is best known to Mayberry fans for his role as Mr. Somerset, the state investigator sent to ascertain whether the Mayberry Sheriff's Department truly needed the additional funds Barney had requested. Robert often said his first acting experience was one performed begrudgingly. He was forced by his teacher to play a part in an eighth-grade play that had only one line. Yet once he did so, he realized he was hooked on the feeling of performing before a live audience. His family relocated to Long Beach in California, where he attended high school and enrolled in junior college. In 1935, while a freshman, Robert made his professional stage debut while performing in Shakespeare's Twelfth Night. Stage acting became his true love, especially in Shakespeare's plays. While he did not perform in national broadcasts, Robert also began doing local radio work in Southern California while in college. The actor's studies were interrupted by a stint in the Army Air Forces, where he was assigned to do public relations work with the British Royal Air Force. He was eventually stationed in Italy, where he learned to speak and write Italian. He had a proficiency with foreign languages, and later learned Spanish, French, and German. His linguistic proficiency eventually led to writing translations of French plays into English. After 4 years in the military, Robert returned to civilian life and continued his college education, enrolling in the University of Southern California, and also continuing to do work in local radio and on the stage. In 1950, the influential film director Howard Hawks heard Robert on the radio and reached out to him about auditioning for a film he was preparing to direct called The Thing from Another World. While Robert had two small and credited roles in 1950 films, his being cast in Hawks' 1951 film, now considered a science fiction classic, was his first credited role and likely the role for which he is best known to the general public. He played Dr. Arthur Carrington, the scientist who encouraged trying to communicate with the alien creature. While Robert always considered himself first and foremost a stage actor, he did say that of his film and television work, this was his favorite role, partially because the acclaimed director had approached him for the film. This early role also led to Robert being inducted into the Science Fiction Hall of Fame. He went on to specialize in playing these egghead types of roles. The rest of his career, Robert acted in television and film to pay the bills while following his passion of performing on the stage. Throughout the 1950s, he acted in a diverse selection of television shows, with his stage abilities especially in demand for live anthology shows. His first recurring role was as naturalist John James Audubon in the series The Adventures of Jim Bowie in the 1950s. In the classic episode Dogs, 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 Robert played the no-nonsense Mr. Somerset, who showed little inclination to grant additional funding for the Mayberry Jail until he was overrun by the 11 dogs brought into the courthouse to avoid the storm. He followed his appearance in the Andy Griffith Show with a recurring role of Reverend Keith in two episodes of Mayberry RFD. By the end of his television and film career, Robert had appeared in more than 40 films and another 140 episodes of series. He played several recurring roles, including Gadget Man Windish in Get Smart and Sir Ives Wallace in Daniel Boone during the 1960s, Judge Edward P. Langdon in Dynasty during the 80s, and Hives, the butler of Woody's father-in-law in Cheers during the 90s. Robert's best-remembered television role was acting Mayor Howard Buss in Picket Fences between 1992 and 1994. Robert passed away in 2006. Well, that's it for this week. As always, thanks for listening. And remember to take Andy's advice and go out there and act like somebody.
Well, thank you, Randy. Thank you for that great report. I didn't know any of that about Robert. Randy just keeps coming up with great stuff. And if you want to make sure you don't miss any of the great stuff that he's come up with, send him an email at turnersgrade@gmail.com. And he'll email you to let you know whenever he puts something new out there. turnersgrade@gmail.com. So thank you again, Randy. That is a great report. Love it. So folks, I'd love to hear from you. I'd like to hear what your thoughts are about, you know, this the stories we're talking about right here. I want to, you know, this is that why Sarah wasn't there? Was she out, you know, taking the day off or the afternoon off? Wasn't going to church because they were back from church. So what happened? Where did that come from? So, folks, hey, thank you for being here with me. It's always great to spend some time here in Mayberry with you. I hope you enjoyed it. I know I always do. Always do. So you guys have a great week. I'd love to have you support me. Head over to patreon.com/twochairs, and you can support the podcast. That helps pay for all the expenses for all this stuff. And if you can't do that, get out and spread the word. Spread the word. Tell people about Two Chairs and all the other Andy Griffith Show stuff out there on the web. Until next time, folks, have a great Mayberry week, and we'll see you here on Two Chairs. Good night.